Real Business Owners.
Yo, welcome back to the Real Business Owners podcast. It's myself, Trevor Cowley, and who are you today, dude? Are you Kilo G?
Whatever, man.
People love Kilo G. And my partner, Kel Goodman. Guys, me and Kel have been through quite a bit in business. We've been through some ups and downs and rights and lefts, you name it. When you're in business long enough, you're going to go through hard times. Yeah. And right now we're in the middle of one of those hard times where a lot of people are in survival mode. And so what we wanted to do today is just talk to you about some of the difficult times that we've faced and some of the things that we've gone through and, you know, what we had to do to ultimately get through some of those tough times to hopefully, you know, bring some value to you guys in terms of maybe hope and maybe some strategies on some things that you could ultimately do to get through these difficult times as long as you believe in your business.
Yeah.
You know, so initially, what was it? I think it was 2012 when this happened. We got to a point where there was $0 in the bank account. I think Jeremy took $5,000 out of his personal account to help cover payroll right after Christmas, just to make sure payroll didn't bounce. And we were at about $65,000 in credit card debt, $65,000 or $66,000 in credit card debt. And that's when I came into the picture, right? And so, you guys, there's going to be difficult times. You guys might not be in a situation quite that dire right now, not yet. Maybe you will get to that point in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 months. I don't know. But the idea is to share with you our experience of our survival mode when we were in that type of a state and how we got through it. You know, flat out, if we didn't have access to credit cards, it wouldn't have survived, right? Because it's very difficult to continue to put money on something that's losing money or what seems to lose money. The year before, it was like a $200,000 loss in 2011. So we were entering 2012 with no money and a lot of credit card debt,
right?
It's a very, very difficult thing to try to overcome. And there's going to be a lot of people in a very similar situation within the next 1, 2, 3, 4 months, whatever it is. And I'm not saying that to try to scare anybody. We survived and we're doing very, very well for ourselves at this point, right? And so the idea is to try to get through it, right? However, you have to, whether it is surviving and floating shit on a credit card. You know, I wouldn't know. It just feels weird saying that.
Yeah.
Because usually I'm not a big fan of like credit card debt and things like that. But I think the reason why a lot of people misconstrue credit cards and might think that this is a terrible piece of advice is because the average person uses credit card debt in a negative way. So credit cards kind of have a bad name, right?
Depends on the position that you put in. You know what I mean? Like, dude, I mean, I went through some shit even before you were my partner, right? Like I went through some shit where our merchant accounts completely shut us down.
You couldn't process.
We didn't have credit cards. But I always was like, we have to pad the account. I've already seen all these companies, Salesforce, marketing companies, all these guys that I'd been involved with as a marketer before I was a business owner. I always noticed a pattern of them going out of business because they always lived at the max, right? The owner was taking from the business for his lifestyle. And so I always – and Jeremy, I mean, dude – I mean, he was always like, dude, when do we start taking a paycheck from this company? I mean, dude, it was almost a year before we started taking a paycheck because I was like, dude, we got to pad the account. Back then, the number was like, we need $100,000 in reserves before we start paying ourselves, you know? And so there was a series of different bad choices, I feel like, that went on with that company right before you came in as a partner, man.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, one of the partners, the one that you pretty much replaced, dude, I mean, he was trying to spend all of the money that we had in reserves for the company to start all these new businesses. He wanted 3, 4, 5 different businesses going at the same time and literally just tank that thing.
Yeah, the business model wasn't a bad business model in terms of it didn't make money or wasn't profitable. It was the way that the money was ultimately managed.
Yeah. And I'm going to take a lot of accountability for that too, because I was allowing it to happen against my beliefs, man. Because my beliefs have always been like, I think credit cards are great. Like we use them, we use ad spend, we build points on them, we have them in case of times like this. But you don't want to use them if you don't have to, right? And that's wanted to.
Yeah.
And so I take a lot of accountability for that, man, because I kept allowing these things, even though it felt weird, man. Like, why are you trying to start a dating website when we know nothing about that? Yeah. Why are you trying to start an edible underwear company? You know, like all this shit he was starting,
sounds
like
delicious.
A pickup artist, like coaching program, like all these things. And he's like spending all these money on it. And like, I was just sitting back, you know, like watching it happen.
Yeah. Dude.
You know, when I look back, I'm like, why did I sit back and let that happen?
Hmm.
If anything, like he should have been using his credit card to go start those things because I didn't want any part of
them. Those were the things that he believed in. So then go invest into the things that you believe in.
Yeah. It was kind of like he was running a renegade there. That's why we ended up having to, dude, switch gears so much. But like, yeah, dude, we had to rack up a lot of credit cards to keep our ad spend going or to keep leads coming in to feed our employees, to feed the company.
Yep.
And you had to make a lot of shifts as a manager to get everybody to rally behind that and sales to keep shit rolling. And so, yeah, dude, I mean, without the credit cards, it would have been a really brutal time. You know, it wouldn't have even, it wouldn't have lasted.
Yeah. Right?
You brought in some cash. Jerry brought in some cash. Credit card debt was already there at the max. So it was like,
again, guys, this was a business model that could make money. It was just, again, the money was managed wrong, right? And I think that that's a lot of scenarios that's going to happen right now is a lot of people will look back and say, man, I really didn't manage my money right.
Right.
And then they're putting themselves in a situation where they're going to have to float themselves for 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, a year on credit cards. I think it took us 10 months or so to pay that down, right? Because we had to set up a whole new company because there was a partnership split, all that stuff. And so we had to take the debt and, you know, some of that stuff. And we had to get new merchant accounts, fill a reserve and, you know, pay off the credit card debt, put money in the bank account, pay ourselves, pay the employees. I mean, it was a lot to try to overcome, but we overcame it.
Yeah, dude.
You know, like, and it's possible.
Is, yeah, and that's the thing, bro, is like people got to realize if you really want it, and like you said, you believe in your business, you believe in yourself, you will find a way. The reason I didn't put money back into the business at that point in time is I was finalizing my divorce.
Yeah.
Everything was tied up in that whole lawsuit.
Yeah.
I had no credit because I was short selling a home that we had, like, you know, from that marriage. Like, dude, I had no credit cards. I had nothing you know, personally to be able to do that. But what were we doing? We were showing up every day. We were all getting on the phone ourselves. We were still acting as the sales guys, which I would do again today if we hit – times like right now, if leads slowed down and salesmen started leaving because they weren't able to make money here, like what would we do? I know for a fact you and I'd be jumping on the damn phone ourselves and start making them sales. You know, I mean, so you can always find a way, right? Dude, I went months without a paycheck. You went months without a paycheck.
Well, so let's fast.
So you better have some damn cash reserves, people.
So I went from a sales rep making about 120 grand a year to I think the first year that I took ownership, it was like a $40,000 pay cut that year, right? But that, I mean, so that doesn't sound that bad going from like 120, 130 down to 80 or 90, but that wasn't guaranteed either.
No.
It was a company that had lost a couple hundred grand. Not a lot of people just, if they took a snapshot of the financial situation, would have invested in the company, but I was inside of the company and I believed in what it could do.
Right.
Provided we, you know, can, again, you pour water in a cup that has a hole in the bottom because the money's going in, and it's just going out somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
It's just a matter of addressing the hole, right? You need to find the hole within inside of your business that's draining the money. And right now is a good time to analyze your company and find out where you can cut back. I'm not saying to fire people or anything like that because we never did that. That was never an option for us in terms of us trying to save money. It wasn't like, okay, who could we cut, right? It was where could we cut, you know?
We did have to cut a person because we found out that their cancellation rates were so high. I don't even want to say, names, that was like, you know, we didn't cut people that we needed to keep. We cut people that were causing a big part
issues.
Of the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Chargebacks and cancellations.
That had nothing to do with like saving money or anything. That had to do with, that was the right decision, whether we were profiting a shit ton of money or losing money. The right decision is the right decision is the right decision. And if somebody's not selling the right way and causing issues, then the right decision is to obviously remove that individual, right? That wasn't necessarily a cost savings. I mean, even now, just in the situation we're in, right? Like there's 80% of our staff is gone,
yeah.
right? But everybody's still going to get a paycheck 60 to 70% of what they normally make,
right?
right? So we've put ourselves in situations where people come first.
Yeah.
Our employees come first. And so that's really what it comes down to. We've actually, like Kel said, there was times where we didn't take any money.
Mm-hmm.
But guess was who's still getting paid? Employees.
Employees, absolutely.
Right? So we make sure that they're taken care of. We put ourselves last. Entrepreneurs are the last ones to get paid. Your vendors get paid. Payroll gets paid. You got to pay for leads. You got to pay, you know, mm-hmm. rent, utilities, you know, whatever it is. And then whatever's left you get, right?
Yeah. Well, let's be real, man. We're coming out of one of the best runs in the economy in
ever, probably.
Ever, yeah. right? Like, it's very, very good run.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are already from this pandemic in a position where you're like, damn, I need to shut my doors and lay people off and do all the shit, this should be a wake-up call to you.
Yeah.
Because you should always be padding your yep. account in reserves for you to take care of your people, your team, the people that have helped you build your business
yep.
to the point where it's at for a much longer period of time than a couple few weeks from something like this coming on
yeah.
that's happening right now.
Yeah.
And so that should be a wake-up call for a lot of people. I've always been a believer in like, man, we got to pad the account. But
yeah.
we got to a point one time where we didn't have an account padded and we had to improvise and we had to
yeah.
work our asses
yeah.
off to get through it. But it should be a wake-up call for mm-hmm. people right now.
Yeah.
Like, dude, pad your accounts. Like, make a sacrifice as an owner. Don't take huge distributions. Don't, you know, rob the business of all of its profits. Make sure you're padding, you know, especially if it's for your lifestyle
yeah.
and shit. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, make a sacrifice to pad that account. Make sure you got whatever the number is, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 in payroll reserves
mm-hmm.
in case these times do happen. Because they happen, man. We knew this was going to eventually happen.
Yeah. I mean, let's be real. We are stronger for going through some of those negative experiences.
Absolutely.
Right? Like that's the truth.
Yeah.
Like, we now keep large amounts of cash in reserve in the bank. So when times like this, we're not in panic.
Yeah.
We're very, very prepared and very insulated from anything external
yeah.
that could ultimately happen that puts us in an uncertain scenario. Because we've been through so many uncertain scenarios that we've learned from. So we put ourselves in a situation where we know it's going to happen. It's not if, it's just a matter of when.
Mm-hmm.
And we make sure that we're very well insulated by having a lot of money in the bank.
Right.
Okay. This is going to be a situation where in 10 years, when something else goes wrong, again, it might not be a virus or this, that, the other. Whatever's up will come down. Whatever's down will go up, right?
Right.
You know, we'll get through this. The economy will go up again. And then we're going to hit another downspout, right? But hopefully this is a scenario and a huge learning opportunity for a lot of people where they're like, damn, I don't ever want to be in that situation ever again. I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to pivot and I'm going to change the way that I, you know, deal with my finances
yeah.
with inside of my business and outside of my businesses.
100%.
So I think that a lot of people will benefit from what's going on. It's just very hard to see that while you're going through the struggle because you're so close to it right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely,
you're in
man.
It.
Absolutely. And you better be learning through this stuff
yeah,
too, man.
Yeah.
Like, when's the last time we had a merchant account shut down because we had a cancellation or we had
yeah,
a chargeback
yeah,
or something?
Yeah.
We haven't because
yeah.
we learned from that shit clear back in 2006 and 7 when I did go through merchant
yeah.
accounts being shut down. I didn't know that
yeah.
was something that could
was
happen.
A thing.
They could
yeah.
just hold your money and literally just like force you out of business.
Yeah.
And so, dude, that was another one I had to really fight through. That was tough because I couldn't pay my people. They didn't drop the money. Like, good thing we had a little bit of money saved up to get through
yeah.
that. And so, but we learned and we adapted. It's like, I'll never just have all my eggs in one basket and one way to process money ever again. I have guys hit me up all the time. They're like, dude, my Stripe got shut off. Like, their policies are so strict and
yeah.
this and that. I didn't even have a chargeback, but they did something to deem you high risk. So why the hell were you keeping that as your only way
option.
To receive payments as
yeah.
a business, right? And so, you know, Stripes and PayPals and all these things they do, merchant accounts, they have strict policies. So we have a lot of different ways to accept money through
yeah.
multiple merchant accounts
yeah.
so that will never happen again.
Yeah.
We haven't had a problem in years, but
yeah.
we continue to
yeah.
make sure it's spread out because we learned.
Why wait for the problem to solve it?
Exactly.
So,
exactly. I don't want that problem ever
yeah,
again.
Exactly.
Right?
I don't even know how many merchant accounts we have at this point. I mean, obviously Jeremy has a spreadsheet on that, but I would say, you know, we probably have, you know, 8 to 10 merchant accounts between all of
oh,
our
at
business,
least.
At
yeah.
least,
yeah.
you know, so that we can process payments at all times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, you're just learning.
Yeah.
This whole thing, this business entrepreneurship game is just a huge learning experience, right? And so let's fast forward like 4 years after we had no money in the bank, $65,000 in credit card debt. From the previous year to that following year, when we got out of the 65, it was a $700,000 turnaround. We ended up paying off the credit card debt. We each made 100 grand, so that was 300,000. We had 100 grand in the bank. There's 400,000. We had 50 grand in merchant reserves. There's 450, mm-hmm. right? Plus the 200 grand that was lost wasn't lost that year. So again, about $650,000, $700,000 turnaround in 1 year. So the business was doing well. It was all fine and dandy. You know, we'd make our 100, 150 grand a year off of that business. And we did for, you know, 3 or 4 years. But then it kind of got to a point where it's like, okay, that's the ceiling.
Yeah, we hit that attrition. We hit that
mm-hmm. ceiling. Like, okay, we can keep operating the way that we're operating and make 100, 150 grand a year. Because every year we're like, hey, this year we're going to make more.
Yeah.
And then nothing changed. And then the next year, like, hey, this is going to be the year where we're going to make more. Nothing changed. Right? We kind of hit a plateau with the business model the way that it was. And so I came to Kel and our other partner, Jeremy, with an idea, right? We were charging $2,500 an upfront package. So if you didn't have $2,500, we weren't working with you, right? And then we kind of slowly started working in a finance model where we would take like $500 down and finance the other $2,000 to start working with more people. But the problem is we were working with a third party company. And they were taking 10% of whatever payments that they were collecting and then giving us our money once a month, whatever they were collecting, right?
Right.
And it got to the point where I didn't want them to do that. We ended up having our programmer program, you know, an entire finance option with inside of our CRM and our system that we utilized.
So we could manage it ourselves.
So we could manage it. But I went to Kel and Jeremy and pitched them on the idea and said, you know what, why don't we get rid of taking the money up front? Why don't we finance everybody, have them pay $100? Down and $100 a month for 24 months because it's a $2,500 package, right? And I had ran the numbers on it, you know, and it was going to be sketchy because anytime it was going to be sketchy, but there was upside to it, right?
Yeah.
It was going to help us probably stay in business for a longer period of time and just make an adjustment, right? That's one thing that people I think need to do better about is after a period of time, you should be adjusting something in your business. If you've ran your business the exact same way for 10 years, I don't think that that's a good thing, that your business isn't evolving. You're not evolving. Yeah. You're going to eventually have other companies that will out evolve you and then put you out of business.
Fast.
I know, especially nowadays.
Shit, you run your business the same way in 2, 3, 4 years and you should be readjusting in some areas, right?
Exactly.
I mean, man, everything's changing so fast all the time. And it just keeps seeming like it happens faster and faster. Technology, everything.
It's moving quick.
So you do. You have to always be looking to evolve for
and
sure.
So, I pitched them on the idea. I knew we'd basically eat the cash reserves that Kel was talking about, how we wanted to keep a lot of money in the bank. At this point, we were around about $100,000, $120,000 in the bank. And going from charging somebody $2,500 up front to taking $100 down does not change how much it costs to generate a lead. It doesn't change the overhead of having to pay a bunch of employees. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change the cost of your rent each month or your utilities. The overhead is still the same overhead pretty much, right? But you're going to take a large hit before you start billing people every single month. So it takes time for the billing to grow, right? And so I knew it would be on a rapid decline. We'd burn through our cash reserves very, very quickly. But then I knew that, you know, around Christmas time, let's say, when we give everybody a week off, that we would still bill whatever we were going to bill that week, and that would be one of our most profitable weeks because we wouldn't have as much overhead. Now, we still pay people, again, to have a week off around Christmas, not their full check, but we give them a Christmas bonus, and we pay people to take a week off. So, but the idea is if sales are up or down, I didn't want to have, you know, what sucked is to be able to make $10,000 or $15,000 in 1 week, and then the next week you have a bad week where you lose 10 grand.
Right.
That's the problem when you're charging up front. You can make a lot of money, but you can also lose a lot of money based upon whether your salespeople are good or bad that week, right? And so you're riding the train of good or bad sales reps.
Yeah.
And so I wanted something a little bit more consistent. Whether they had a good week or bad week, we were still billing whatever we were billing on a month-to-month basis that gave us consistency as owners and as employees and as a business as a whole, right? And so we did that. Within 4 months, we burned through about $150,000. There was about $5,000 left in the account and $15,000 in credit card debt. This was another survival mode scenario where it got to the point where there's $5,000. So we had to start using the credit card again for spend on Google, right? Yeah. To be able to generate leads. And so I remember calling, the merchant account guys and saying, hey, can we get a merchant account release? I think they released us 20 of the $50,000 that they were holding. Mm-hmm. That helped us get through that time. And then when I originally pitched Kel and Jeremy, I said, since it was my idea, I said I'd put money in if I needed to. And so I was starting to sweat a little bit when it was hitting. I said, look, I believe in it so much that like if we ever hit zero, I'll fund it with my personal money just to keep it alive. And then the business will pay me back once it starts bouncing up. And so I remember even having that conversation with Jeremy. And he's like, just wait before you put any money in. Let's just see what happens. I think we got a decent deposit coming in next week. And that's where we bottomed out. Yeah. We bottomed out at the $5,000. And then the next week there was like six and then seven. And so it slowly started then growing from there. But guys, this is what some of the people that are listening or going through right now is they're going to have to get creative. They're going to have to utilize whatever they can that's available to them in order to survive. Every business will hit a point where they'll have to be on survival mode one, two, three, maybe four times throughout 20 years, 30 years, 40 years in business. There's going to be ups and downs. That's the life of an entrepreneur. This is what you ultimately signed up for, whether you know it or not. You maybe signed up for entrepreneurship 3 years ago. Welcome to real entrepreneurship is figuring out. Entrepreneurship isn't about making a ton of money. It's about figuring out how to fucking survive when it's time to survive. Yeah. Like moments like this.
Scary shit.
This is going to weed out a lot of pretenders.
Yeah.
The people that don't believe that much in their business to where they won't go deep. Like $65,000 deep on a credit card when there's really no money coming in. The business wasn't profiting, but yet we still believed in the business model so much to go that deep. This is a perfect moment to determine whether or not you feel like that you're built for entrepreneurship. Is this for you? Is it too difficult? Is it too stressful? If you can't hack it and you can't do it, that's okay. It's not for everybody, but just understand this is just a part of the process, just as much so as making all the money. And one quote that I did like that I posted on our stories is, you'll see when the tide goes out, who's naked? You know, so what that basically means is who's basically running their business on the line. You know, you get to the point where you get a $20,000 deposit and you take $18,000 of it and you're just running your business right on the line every single week or every single month when you shouldn't be doing that.
So many times I've seen people run their business that way, man. That's the biggest pattern I saw of guys whenever they were going out of business, whether times were good or bad or something like this happens to wipe people out, is it was like, man, they're always like, the business profited $30,000-$40,000 this month. They pay themselves $30,000-$40,000 that month.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, you have to think ahead. You have to be a future thinker at some level in business.
I mean, how many times have we seen people with nice houses and the nice cars or the boat, you know, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden it's gone.
Yeah.
Like, I think Instagram's going to be weeded out pretty good right now in terms of all the people that were flexing, trying to show you their shit. We're going to see who's real.
Yeah.
We're going to see ultimately the individuals that have been living to the hilt,
yeah,
you know, just to ultimately try to impress other people. And this goes back to the ego podcast that we did not more than probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. Right? Basically feeding their own ego, trying to get more likes and comments and this because they got the Lambo or whatever it is. Well, you know.
People like to justify it too. Like, oh, well, this is just stuff I'd use. It's a marketing tool, right? Oh, yeah. And so I'm creating this perception of who I am so that to bring attention to me so that I can, you know, grow my business.
Do more business.
And, you know, I guess there's a little bit of truth to that. But I think in the long run, the guys that build their cash reserves and they sacrifice all that lifestyle and that image shit are the ones that come out when this kind of shit does happen. So
to me, though, it's like, why wouldn't you rather just give good information that's valuable to other people to attract people rather than something that's shiny?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The shiny shit probably attracts the cockroaches anyways.
Yeah.
Right. The people that really are in it for the long haul. You know, when I look at things like that, I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, I hope that those people can actually afford that. That's like one of my first thoughts. Like, That's awesome because I hope to be there at one point, but I want to be able to pay cash for my shit, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't want to, I want to own things, not owe on things, right?
And even if you did pay cash for it, what can you sell it for right now in a down market? You know what I mean? Because now you're like, oh, my business is suffering. I better go sell that Ferrari or that Lambo or that, you know, airplane or whatever, right? And you're like, okay, well, There's so many businesses are gonna are being affected. And the real business owners, the guys that have the cash are like, well, maybe I will swoop that up because it's on sale.
Yeah.
If it ain't on sale, I'm buying it.
Dude, that's those are the smart ones.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. And so if you guys, again, I would say 90-95% of entrepreneurs right now are going to be in a lot of pain. But just understand this. We've been in a lot of pain. We've been through struggle. We've been punched in the mouth. We've had sleepless nights or very stressful situations where we've had to put the business first, our employees first. You know, and this is ultimately what you guys should be doing right now. Put the business first. Put your employees first. Look around at your personal life and see what the hell you can get rid of. Cut there first so that you're not so dependent on the business to provide you that type of a lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
You know, just on the last podcast or two podcasts ago, I said, you know, we have enough money to, you know, live for a couple years or whatever without getting paid. And when I ran the numbers, I'm like, dude, I could live for 8 years without getting paid. So putting us in a situation where the economy might be down for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, that's not very stressful to us.
Yeah.
We understand it's stressful to you because we've been in those type of scenarios. The idea of this podcast is not to say anything but this. If you still believe in your business or you did believe in your business with all of your heart 2 months ago, you should believe in with all your heart right now in your business. Because again, the ups and downs will be there just like it was 2 months ago. It's going to be like that again, whether it's in 2 months or 2 years.
Yeah.
That will come back, right? So if your business was making a lot of money 2 months ago, but it's not really making any money right now, you're getting punched in the mouth for a reason. And the reason might be for you to be able to pull back and analyze yourself and your habits and your spending so that you never put yourself in a situation like that again. You know, but guys, there is hope. You know, if you do have access to credit cards, you're going to probably want to use them again if you believe in your business.
You'll do whatever it takes, man. If you're a real entrepreneur, you're a real business owner, you want success bad enough, you'll do whatever it takes. You know, I was talking to my son about a book he's reading right now, and he was just like, you know, he really liked that they did this, you know, analogy or they did this study on what is the difference between successful people and people that aren't successful in the long term.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest common denominators was entrepreneurs and, you know, successful, they run to the fear. They don't run from it.
Mm.
You know, when shit like this happens and it's scary, a lot of people are going to fold and they're going to be like, I'm just going to go back to work for somebody else. Yeah. I'm just going to go, I'm going to shut this down. I'm going to go over here and do this over here. And they're going to settle for less and go a different direction because it's scary. But successful people run through the fear. They run to it, you know? Mm. So, you know, I thought that was kind of cool. And I thought that was fitting right now too, because a lot of people run around scared right now.
Yeah.
And you're going to see a lot of people that run from fear, they're going to fold.
And the thing is
the people that are not afraid to run to the fear, they'll fucking get a credit card and run their business on it for a few months if they have to, or a whole year or whatever it takes, you know, because they're like, I'm not going to be scared of the debt because I want the success on the other side of it.
Let's put it this way. I mean, Elon Musk, when he sold PayPal, I think he got like $190 million and he was broke.
Yeah.
Because he believed so much in Tesla. He believed so much so in, what's that? Is it Solar City or something like that makes the panels? And then the other one was SpaceX. He believed in those businesses so much so that he burned through all of his money.
He was willing to be fearless.
He was just continue to go. And look where he's at now. Look where he's at now. He had to borrow money to pay rent and was basically on a nervous breakdown right before some big investors came in to save him.
Yeah.
But he believed in what he was doing so much so that he was willing to go all in.
Yeah.
All in. But 99% of people would have got $190 million and been sipping pina coladas for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Not putting it all at risk to where they have nothing and potentially just being bankrupt.
I mean, fear is real. You're going to feel it no matter what. Exactly. But are you going to use it to steer you or are you just going to run from it?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And obviously, Elon Musk, he uses it to steer him like, okay, you know, I'm going to run to this fear.
Man. Exactly.
I'm just going to let it steer me where I need to go.
I think he runs more to his passion, what he believes in.
Yeah.
and ignores the fear because his passion is so great that that's greater than the fear itself, right? Yeah. So, and I think really that's what it comes down to. Is the passion for your business greater than your fear of losing a little bit of money or putting money on a credit card?
Yeah.
And I saw a thing today that says Domino's can't keep up with their delivery orders. They're like trying to hire like 100,000 pizza delivery people right now.
So is Amazon, bro.
So
just keep delivering.
But what I'm saying is if your business is hurting right now and you're at a point of struggle, do something that nobody else would be willing to do.
Yeah.
Go fucking deliver pizzas like Brent Skinner did on the podcast. I think that was episode 35 or whatever it was, finding a way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not even more than 10 episodes ago. And it's very, very relevant to what we're going through right now. So if people haven't listened to that podcast, they need to go back and listen to that podcast because he found a way to get through his shit.
Yeah.
And one of it was delivering pizzas. Alex, one of our first guests,
cleans offices and delivers pizzas
to try to get through hard times while he was building something that he believed in. That's really what it comes down to. So would you rather go back and retreat and go work for somebody else, which is not a bad thing? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But would you rather retreat and do that, or would you rather take a couple steps back, keep your business, and maybe float some on credit cards, maybe deliver pizzas, or what? Again, I'm not saying deliver pizzas. There's opportunities available out there right now where you can make some extra money to stay afloat. The idea is doing whatever it takes, however it takes it, to keep your business afloat so that you can see next week, next month, next year.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't put your ass in jail or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not – And the good news about delivering pizzas –
like, if one, I see you out not, selling yourself on the corner, I'm going to turn you in, bro.
Yeah, shit. Now, dude, if I got to, if I, you know.
Just teasing.
I got to see what this ass can get, you know. But – the good news about delivering pizzas is you might be able to steal a slice out of there.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can eat and get paid. Just like squinch the pizza together or stretch it out to where it doesn't look like there's a hole in it, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those where you call in, hey, you know, this guy wouldn't pay his order, so I had to eat his
pizza. Deliver and say, I'm sure you understand. And they're like, what are you talking about? And then you just leave.
Yeah.
It's hard times.
You said there was a hair in it, so we need to make him a new one.
Yeah.
And you take that pizza home to your family.
That's fucked up, but do it if you need to. Make it work. But guys, the idea is if you're in survival mode right now, you'll find a way if you really, 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 really want to. There's always a way. It just doesn't seem like it because, again, the problem is surrounding you. You're so close to the struggle and the problem right now. But, you know, remove emotions from the situation and start thinking logically. You know, a lot of people right now are making fear-based decisions, and they're not making logic-based decisions, right? And so once you get to the point of removing emotion, like, you know, even investing into this, the stock thing, like watching the money go up and down, like I don't have as much emotion with that as I think I would have years ago, right? Like watching it drop, my heart would have been in panic mode.
Right.
Like, holy shit, did I make a mistake?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm investing with emotions rather than just investing with logic. I'm like, okay, I'm going to put the money in there. I know it's going to go back up. It's just a matter of riding the ups and downs.
Yeah.
It's the same with business.
Yeah.
Are you riding your ups and downs? Just like the stock market. That's what people do. They ride the ups and downs. But these people that make a lot of money in stocks, they're not investing based upon their emotions.
Right.
The big winners, it's just logic. When it's down, they buy. If it goes down even further, they still hold and maybe even buy more because they still believe it's going to go back up. And that's why they initially invested in it.
Right.
Right. You initially invested in your business because you believed in it. If it's going down right now, guess what? You might have to invest into it some more. And it might go down a little bit more. You might have to invest in it more, but it will come back up.
Yeah. So what I've been doing. Buying it the whole way down.
buy your business the whole way down.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? Buy your business the whole way down and it will come back up.
Yeah.
Believe enough so much so into your business that you force it to make it work. You force it to be successful and it will.
Yeah.
That's just the truth of the matter. So,
I like it, man.
Oh, I mean, I'm hoping it gets to some people, right? Well,
it should, man. It's true shit. It's real shit.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's all stuff we've been through.
You know, everybody, you know, can, you know, gets these moments of fear, and it's, sometimes feels like the easiest thing would be to retreat. But that is the biggest difference is, are you going to retreat or are you going to push through? Because if you want it bad enough, you will. And absolutely, those are the ones that yeah, always end up on the other side.
Yeah. All the best stories, you know, are they overcome shit.
Yeah.
You know, we post about struggle. We post about overcoming things. Our account is becoming more and more relevant. Again, when I posted something the other day, it's like, these aren't quotes anymore, right? Before, they were just words with quotes. Now they actually have meaning to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You can actually feel what we have gone through and felt, that the reason why we came up with some of the quotes that we came up with.
Right.
Right. And so it's, everything's, you know, it's easy to like something when it's like, yeah, struggle, when you're way up here. Mm-hmm. But when you're actually going through struggle, you know, it's not as easy to see that. And the reason why people are scared is because they're unprepared.
Right.
If you are prepared for scenarios like this, you aren't scared of it.
Right.
Like, are you living in fear right now?
Me?
Yeah.
Personally, no.
No. Because you're prepared.
Yeah.
Like, we've put ourselves in situations where we're far more prepared than most people. So preparation puts you in a situation where you can start thinking logically and remove the emotion from it.
Yeah.
Right? And so the idea is, if you are scared or in panic or you feel like things are uncertain right now, that just shows you where you're weak. Your preparedness for a situation like this wasn't on point. And you're weak in terms of preparing for down times. And now this is an opportunity for a learning lesson or a learning opportunity so that you never put yourself in that situation again through preparedness,
probably
right?
Probably comes down to sacrifice, you know?
Of course
if
it does.
If you're weak right now, it's because you haven't been willing to sacrifice
absolutely
a lot of the things that you want versus what you need mm-hmm. in order to put you in a better financial situation to weather these times.
Exactly.
And so, you know, so much preparedness comes back to sacrifice too, you know?
Dude, that's
sacrifice is really is preparedness, being you know?
Exactly. Like, when somebody
preparedness is sacrifice or whatever, because to be prepared, you've got to sacrifice some things to be prepared.
That's the fact. That's a fact.
Yeah.
You know, when you make $100,000 a year, that's a perfect opportunity to continue the same lifestyle that you have and start preparing for hard times.
Yeah.
Problem is somebody sees a $2 pay raise and they're like, shit, I can now afford a $200 more a month car payment.
Yeah.
And so that they go in and they trade in a car that runs just fine for a car that's another $200 more a month or whatever it is.
Right.
Now imagine if that $200 a month went into a separate account for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Like, now you've got $13,000 just kind of sitting there. Now you're far more prepared than what you would have if you didn't upgrade that vehicle. You see what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. So the biggest problem with making six figures is a six-figure lifestyle. Six figures is a perfect opportunity to set you up for seven figures. Seven yes. figures is a great opportunity to set you up for eight figures.
Exactly.
And so it just depends on, again, it's I think the issue is it really comes down to a mindset problem. Because their mindset's off, and if their mindset wasn't off, then they'd be willing to sacrifice knowing that they would be more prepared. And because they're more prepared, they can feel a sense of comfort, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of minds have to shift to, again, like you said, think a long term.
Yeah.
Think about the next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. And you should be thinking about that right now. Don't think about the moment that you're currently in. Think about the next 5 years. You will not be in this same situation 5 years from now. So that should give you hope in of itself.
I mean, that's so contradicting because of what, I mean, dude, people always hear it. Like,
live in the moment.
Live in the now. Live in the moment. Yeah. Don't live in the future. Don't live in the past. And like, I agree, but like, I attribute a lot of the success I've had to my future thinking, to me looking down the road of what do I really want? What do I need to do now in order to have that? And so I don't know what the right answer is, man. I mean, they say people are happier to live in the now versus the future, but I've been able to create a lot of cool things by living in the future.
Yeah.
Well, thinking in the future.
Well, let's just put it this way. I know if I lived in the now for the last 5 years, 10 years, whatever it was, right, I wouldn't want to live in the now.
Yeah.
Like today.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Because I would be scared. I would be fearful. There would be a lot of uncertainty.
A lot of other people's now is not the now you want.
Exactly.
Right?
Right. And so, again, it's okay to live in the now, but at the same time, you have to have a long-term mindset, right?
Yeah.
So with that, we'll go ahead and read the review. So this one is from Kendall Howe. It says, whoa. It's a good star. Five-star review. Again, this is just on iTunes, so you guys can go check it out as well. Verify that we're not making this shit up, that people actually like us. It says, mind blown. Episode 33 hit hard. Opened my eyes to so much I didn't realize as I move forward with opening my first business. All your episodes are awesome. Very enlightening. Thank you so much for all the great info. Love the show. Keep it up. Hashtag game changer. Cool. Appreciate that, Kendall. Guys, don't be stingy with your thumbs. Put your thumbs down on the keyboard. Give us a review. Give us a five. You know, I mean, it takes like 1 minute to do. We've got thousands and thousands of people listening to the podcast. I think we have like 212 reviews. So let's go ahead and bump those up. Make sure you share this information with friends or family. We try to bring you guys information that I believe that should be taught in school. Yeah. You know, whether you're talking about taxes, whether you're talking about credit scores, whether you're talking about sacrificing and preparedness and, you know, all of these things. And so make sure if you're getting value out of it, just like Kendall talked about, that that you're sharing that information with other people that you care about. But guys, this is just a moment in time. It's a little hiccup in time, and we'll get through this just
I'm sure the podcast will sound much different in a few months from now when things are back on an upswing.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. It won't be as relevant. Everything that we've talked about is relevant now. So finally, our window of opportunity to be relevant is like 2 months, you know, 3 months, you know, all the sacrifice.
That's good. There's good learning lessons in it, man, for sure.
Cool. We appreciate you guys listening. Have a good day.